This is Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flatow. Immediately after the earthquake hit in Haiti, there was a flood of information about how to help, how to donate on Facebook, how to tweet cash or text donations. It was a new, more social media method of giving. Just how does the technology of texting donations work? How really? What is going on there? That's all we'll be talking about. And more importantly, is this a new lasting trend? Is social media the philanthropy of the future? Will technology help social media? Will Twitter replace the tin cup? Timothy Ogden is the editor-in-chief of the journal Philanthropy Action. He joins us today from Westchester, Pennsylvania. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Ira. Thanks for having me.
Our number 1-800-989-8255. Also, you can tweet us at SciFry, at SCIFRI. And in Second Life, you can join folks over there in the conversation. Timothy, how does it work? When you send out a tweet or something like that, how does the money go from one place to the other?
Primarily what we're talking about here is giving by text message via cell phones. And so the way that works is a service provider makes an arrangement with the carriers for a specific number that you can text the message to. And they set up an automatic system that if you text specific a word to that number, it asks the carrier to bill the person who sent the text, to bill the phone line, for a pre-specified amount, either $5 or $10.
So it's going through your phone line. It's going through your telephone company.
It's going through your cellular phone company. So it's essentially being added directly to your cell phone bill that you'd get at the end of the month, just like any other month, is your cell phone bill will be $10 higher.
Does all the money go through, or does the phone company take a bit of that itself?
Typically, the phone company is making its money off of its charges for SMS texting. So most phone companies charge something for the texts themselves. Now, in this case, because of public pressure, by and large, the companies have waived those fees. And also, typically, the service provider, there is an organization, for instance, called MGive that's handling the Red Cross's text donations, they have also agreed to waive their fees. So in this case, the $10 is going to the Red Cross or some of the charities because of the pretty terrific response and for people's expectations that companies shouldn't be profiting in a time of such dramatic need.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that this is starting a new kind of philanthropy?
Well, to be honest, Ira, I think the trend is a lot less than it might appear to be. Really what we're seeing is just the adoption of another way of doing financial transactions.
Right.
It's, for instance, trying to imply trends based on the changing mix between the use of checks and credit cards at the grocery store. Really what we're talking about is just a different technology for doing the same thing that people have typically done. Now, the one thing that changes here slightly, there are two things I would say that change here slightly. One, very much to the benefit of giving, and one which is probably not so good. In the first case, the immediacy of being able to give by text really does probably have an influence. All of us human beings are subject to the most powerful force in the universe, procrastination.
Yeah.
And so the ability to give at the moment you hear does generally raise participation rates. Lots of people would plan to give but just not get around to it if they couldn't do it right away. The flip side of that is givers via text don't engage in the same way with the charity that they're giving to. So the charities who receive a text donation are prohibited from contacting the donor. In fact, the only information they get is the donor's phone number and the carrier they use, and they agree not to contact that donor unless the donor explicitly agrees.
Mm-hmm.
And the figures that we're getting there are around 10% of donors actually agree to form some sort of relationship. So from the charity's perspective, for their ability to follow up and help that donor understand what was done with their money, what good they're doing with that money, it becomes much more difficult with a text donation versus, say, if the person came to the Red Cross's website, put in their name and their credit card number, then the Red Cross knows who that person is, has a much easier way of contacting them to follow up, to let them know what's been happening with their donation.
But this does make it easier for all kinds of foundations or nonprofits to raise money now. They see how successful you can be with a text message.
Well, again, I think there's a danger there in interpreting too much from this. You know, disasters like this are unique, and it's not necessarily a lesson that's applicable to very many other situations or very many other charities. So let me give you an example of a similar technology change related to social media, is that, you know, a lot of charities have rushed into in the last year and a half into sort of attempting to raise money via social media, be that Facebook or Twitter, because there were a couple of programs that raised a very large amount of money. A lot of people have pointed to an organization called Charity Water. Certainly people have pointed to the Obama campaign and their success with fundraising. We did a survey last year of mid-sized nonprofits about their efforts in social media, and found that 80% of them had managed to raise $100 or less through their social media efforts. And so people see a couple of instances of big success.
Yeah.
And assume that, well, that means that raising money by Facebook is the way to get a lot of money. Or in this case, I think a lot of people will start assuming, well, raising money via text messaging is an easy way to increase our donations. But in last year, the largest single text donation campaign raised $420,000.
Mm-hmm.
This year, because of this Haiti situation, the Red Cross alone has raised, I believe, a little over $30 million.
Wow.
And so, to me, that's not a sign of a trend. That's a sign of a unique situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll likely see something like this the next time there's a major disaster that captures attention. But between now and then, let's face it, how many good reasons are there to give with that sense of immediacy, if it's not a disaster?
Well, I'm talking on a personal level. You know, here in the streets of New York and other major cities all over, you see people who are panhandling.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a coffee cup or something like that to put your change in. Are they going to be wearing a little tweet number around their neck now? Or a
certainly.
Text that you want to send me, 99 cents, I'll take it that way.
Yeah, I mean, certainly one of the things, so you look at historically, is that the way these things used to happen is people came to your door.
Right.
I don't know if you remember when the Red Cross actually used to collect donations door-to-door, or the UNICEF boxes at Halloween.
Sure.
That kids carried door-to-door. And
right behind the Fuller Brush Man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, that has largely gone away. The only institutional version of that I think really still exists is the Salvation Army kettle drives at Christmas time, is sort of people right there to give. And as you said, just sort of these sort of random organizations walking around the street with buckets at intersections. I think we are, for that immediate giving, moving to the using of new technology, but just in the same way we're transacting a lot more business in that same way,
mm-hmm.
People being able to pay for anything they buy with their cell phone.
Let's see if we can get a phone call in before we go. Mark in Kansas City. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. The person, your guest, was speaking about one of the downsides of accepting text donations. Unless a person opts in to receive more information, they can't get back to that donor to let them know how that money is spent. Quite frankly, I believe that most donors like that part of it, because getting back to you to tell you how the money is spent, it really doesn't happen. And what it is, they can come back and inundate you with more requests all the time for more money. If a person gives to that foundation or the Haiti Relief or something, I think they have a pretty good idea where the money's going. So being anonymous, if you will, is a heck of a benefit, because then you're not inundated and you can choose who you're giving your money to and when you're giving it.
Yeah, and anonymity is the mantra of the Internet. It's the mantra of the digital world. No one knows who you are.
No one knows who you are, although your privacy typically is a lot less than most people actually presume that it is.
Well, yeah, I'm not worried about the privacy part of it. I just... And I believe most people aren't worried about that. They get calls all the time. Then if you give somebody $50, an organization, and you really want to support them, you'll probably get 10, 12 calls during the year for another $50 for another reason. And it just gets to be irritating after a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
so
you're pointing out a real problem. You're pointing out a real problem of the charity sector as a whole, which is they have focused their communications with donors not on the effectiveness of what they've done, but on additional fundraising appeals. And they've lost the trust of a lot of donors because of that. And as you said, a lot of them are frustrated and don't want to hear from the charities.
You know, I was talking about the folks with carrying little cups around the city, and you were looking at that as a institutional, and I was looking at that as a personal way. to donate. If you find someone who you really want to just send money to them, and you just have to find out how to text it to them, and they have to have some way of receiving it. And you may see them on the news, you know, a family that's lost its house in a fire, other kinds of tragedies. And now maybe that's becoming a little more personal.
Yeah, and, you know, personal giving, the person-to-person connections and philanthropy, I think, is, in fact, a major trend of people being able to expect to connect a lot more directly. But it is also a double-edged sword. You know, for the people on the receiving end, right, there are things we do have to really worry about creating dependency, about making sure that money is used well and delivered in exactly the right ways. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's an upside of the person-to-person connection because it can enable, a lot more of a generous feeling from people and a lot more accountability, and that's great. But it can also create these really troubling dynamics between people in need and people who give. And even in the best of times, some of that can turn into both either dependency or control, you know, the attempt by givers to control the behavior of recipients in ways that really aren't helpful for anyone in the long term.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to thank you very much for taking time out with us. And I imagine we'll be seeing more of this kind of giving in the future as people.
Absolutely. The mechanisms of all of our financial transactions are going to be changing dramatically, and that's going to include charity.
Mm-hmm. All right, Tim. Thanks again. Have a good weekend. Tim Ogden is the editor-in-chief of the journal Philanthropy Action, and he was talking to us from Westchester, Pennsylvania.